Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a turnover fest, Keith?
Oh, man, I wasn't, but I am now. That's exactly what that was. That was a hard watch. I didn't like any of that.
That's the right way to say it. Yesterday was a taxing, hard watch.
Brutal.
They would turn it over multiple times going into the end zone yesterday.
Oh, yeah. In the end zone, around the end zone, near the end zone, right in front of the end zone.
In and around the end zone all day. And they'd go to commercial break, and I just sit there. Like, I didn't even have the heart to, like, flip the channel. I'm like, what? It was a tough watch.
Like, woof. And it was such an incredibly winnable game. Like, they played, like, absolute garbage, and they were still moving down the field at the end of the game with a chance to tie it. And then, who knows, does Vrabel go for two and try to win it? Do they go to overtime and maybe win it there? Even though they're just putting the ball on the ground, they're throwing it to the other team. It was just... It was a mess and a slog of a game. And even the Steelers, they got to that hot start, and then their offense just disappeared too. And it was right there. And that's one of my takeaways that I feel strongly about, is that there are probably 5 great teams, 5 trash teams, and 22 other NFL teams that are all about the same. And whoever wins, like, the turnover battle, like, as simple as that, like, whoever, like, wins the turnover battle on that day can beat the other team. And then that's why you're going to have some of those 22 are going to make the playoffs. Some are going to be picking in the top 10, but they're not separated by a whole lot. And this Patriots team is a great example where they don't have this big room for error. And that's why, like, last week we're like, you can't miss extra points. Like, you can't miss extra points. You need every freaking point you could possibly get. Just like, you can't turn it over that many times. And they're not going to have 17 clean games, obviously. No team's going to have 17 clean games. But, like, 5 turnovers is ridiculous, because Pittsburgh – is not that good. Miami's not that good. Vegas is not that good. Maybe New England not that good.
No. Yeah. No, maybe not. So they turn it over 2 times inside the 5 yesterday. It's the first time they've done that as an organization since 1978.
Oh, 78 was not a good team.
No, inside the opponent's 5. It's also the first time they've turned it over 5 times in a game since November of 2008. Note that was not a Tom Brady game.
I was
going to
say, nope, no Brady.
But they had 5 turnovers against the Steelers in 2008. So an ugly, ugly day for the Pats. You want to vent about it, talk about it, discuss it. You can do that all day long here on a Patriots Monday on Jones and Keith. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. Watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll take you through week 3 of the NFL and what happened coming up a little over an hour from now, less than 90 minutes from now, at 11:30. We'll also be joined today, as we are every Patriots Monday, by Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis. How do you lose a game like that, Keith? The self-evident answer is the turnovers. But when I ask the question, here's what I mean. Mm-hmm. They dominated yesterday. Dominated. And you look at how they were able to outperform Pittsburgh. They had more first downs, plus 9, 26 to 17. More total plays, 71 to 49, plus 22. More total yards, 166 more total yards, 369.
Nice.
To 203.
Yeah.
Better yards per play, more passing yards, more rushing yards, fewer penalties and penalty yards, believe it or not. They had almost 7 more minutes of possession, but you get smoked in the turnover margin. You had 4 more turnovers, 5-1, compared to Pittsburgh. they dominate that game and still lose. What does that say about this Patriots team?
Yeah, they don't. The thing that Mike Vrabel talked about during camp was, you know, there's good, bad, and the bleep that gets you beat. And they got to figure that stuff out. They have not figured that stuff out. They're not as disciplined a team as we had all hoped. That you thought the change of Mike Vrabel and this experienced coaching staff would sort of bring to the table this year. It hasn't been the case. Every week there's a million penalties. This week you add a bunch of penalties to five turnovers, which is just almost impossible to overcome. And part of that is the nature of said turnovers. I've brought this up a lot where, like, it's one thing if it's third and 15, you know, at the 50-yard line and you chuck it down the field and it gets picked. Yeah, it goes down as a pick. Or you hit a receiver in the hands and he kind of coughs it up, which happened to Drake May last year. And like what? Or there's you just march the ball 90-plus yards down the field and then you don't throw the ball high enough in the end zone and it gets picked off. Like, that is soul-crushing. So it looks like, hey, you just put up like 100 yards of offense, but you didn't even get a field goal. You didn't get a single point out of that. And so they fell behind early in the game, and so it's 14-0, and that's all Pittsburgh really needed. Like, they were able to get all these turnovers. A lot of it was self-inflicted by the Patriots, but, yeah, they haven't been able to clean up a lot of this stupid stuff from a year ago.
No, and you just said it. I mean, you're leaving points on the board when you go all the way down the field. They went 17 plays and then threw a pick in the end zone. Ramondre Stevenson had already fumbles again.
Yeah.
So you look at the way they played yesterday. Did you have a most frustrating one? Was it the cumulative Ramondre Stevenson fumbles? Was it the pick in the end? I think pick in the end zone
probably tops
the list.
So it was pick in the end zone for me. It does top the list just because it was such a good drive. Earlier in the drive, they went for it on fourth down from their own 15-yard line, which was a wild call.
It was
good
wild
for them. Like, that's me playing video games. Yeah. That's not like real life NFL.
You'd have a better play call.
Well, that's what I was
going
to say. I
would not pitch it 8 yards in the backfield.
I got to be honest.
And then do it again later.
I didn't really hate. They did it twice.
Yep.
And I can't believe it worked both times. But I didn't really hate going for it. I despised the play call. I couldn't believe that.
No, I was like, I was really happy they went for it because I am like Brandon Staley. I would go for it on every fourth down. I'm also not a head coach in the NFL. And so I was like, that takes a lot of stones there, as it were, or whatever you want to call it. But they get it. They barely get it. Because what would we have been saying if he gets tackled for a 2-yard loss and now the Steelers have the ball on the 12-yard line going in? You'd be like, that's it. You're sort of saying the game is right here.
Yeah. And what does it say about Vrabel and his lack of confidence in the team overall? Like, he's like, I got to do this or else we got no shot.
So he's probably like, go ahead, Josh, run a play. Then Josh runs that and Vrabel's like, are you serious? Are you serious?
No, but
it was because of that. Like, that is insane. Like, you need to go all the way down and score. Then it's like, it feels like even more than 7 points, and you were so close. You were knocking on the door, and I didn't love all the play calls down there either. And I'll say this about Drake May. I was surprised that all these people, and I think you were saying it too, were like on Twitter yesterday being like, well, the pass got tipped.
Well, it's a
meaning
tip
like
ball,
it's
Jones.
Not an interception.
All right. I after the pick,
throw it to the back pylon. I'm not trying to be Joey quarterback here, but throw it high and over Hampton or Hayward and over the corner. Kayshon Boutte would have been wide open easily in the end zone, and he would have scored. Ah, Keith, you never played. Boomer Esiason said the same thing. He's an NFL MVP. He said the same thing this morning. Drop back, throw it up over everybody. You could watch the replay again. He was wide open. The ball wouldn't have gotten tipped in that case. So that one was so – that was the most frustrating of a day where there were several frustrating plays, but that would be number one.
I can't let the franchise, quote-unquote, franchise quarterback off the hook for getting the ball tipped at the line of scrimmage that goes right into the defense's hands after a 17-play, 92-yard drive where you don't get any points and you lose by a possession.
And you went up for it on fourth and one from your own 15.
I cannot let him off the hook. That was the most frustrating one.
Yeah.
The most frustrating situation.
But then go ahead.
Was Ramondre Stevenson with all the fumbles?
I was going to say the situation, and then like where the second one also came from. We're joking about in the end zone, right before the end zone. So you're about to score. You're about to, what was that? Take the lead or tie it? Maybe that was to tie it.
Hang on. That was to take the lead, wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah, that was.
Rodgers came out and threw that horrendously bad pick.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's to Spillane's hands.
And then you were going to go in to tie it, which you eventually did. But you know the game would have changed, I think, significantly there.
Yeah. Yep.
And you fumble going into the end zone. It's the second fumble of the game by Ramondre Stevenson.
How about that? Just to speak to the game real quick. The third quarter. These were the possessions in the third quarter for both teams. Interception, fumble, punt, fumble, punt. That was what we saw in the third quarter. And as somebody who bet the
like
over,
an Iowa game.
I was like, I kind of need some points here, fellas.
The Steelers ran ran nine plays.
Yeah.
Interception, three and out, three and out. And the Patriots went fumble, fumble. Ramondre Stevenson's second fumble. Antonio Gibson's first.
The Steelers had 1 yard. Do you know how many yards of offense were in the third quarter? I think it was...
Seven!
No, I think it was, I think it was like 22 yards.
Yeah, that sounds right.
For both teams. For both teams.
Honestly, sounds high.
Feels high.
Yeah, it does.
It feels real high.
So, no, I can't believe Stevenson continued to play. After the first fumble, I was okay with that, actually. He was really good last week. Fine. After the I can't believe he got more snaps.
Yeah.
I think Reese charted him for two. I think Reese missed one early. I think he was out there more than just the two snaps, but whatever. I can't believe it's any snaps after that.
Well, I don't know, because I don't know if they really enjoy the other players right now in the backfield. The Cerberus backfield is dead. So I would like to bury it.
I saw somebody somebody sent you the meme of the Cerberus with all the tongue sticking out the side
three,
of their mouth.
Like stupid dragons.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we have here. They're very close to hell, so they can just kind of slide over, I guess. That's where the sort of Cerberus rules. But Gibson fumbles, Henderson's having all kinds of issues like picking up blocks and stuff. So I don't know if they really trust any of their running backs.
No.
Drake May is their best running back right now.
Yeah.
He's the guy that best with running with the ball.
People don't want him to run. It's like the only good thing they do. Drake May running is like the only good thing they do, and people don't want him to run.
No.
What do you do with Ramondre Stevenson? 617-779-7937. Here's Rabel after the loss yesterday on all the fumbles for the second year in a row. How many years in a row with Ramondre Stevenson? But here he is. Sorry.
Mike, how do you handle Ramondre Stevenson with two fumbles?
It's like you sit there and we're so excited about him, and everybody's excited about him. The fans are, and we know what his capabilities are. You know, we got to get him back. We need him. We absolutely need him. You see what he was able to do for us last week, his ability to make some plays. And, you know, again, we'll just have to look at the technique. We'll have to look at the ball security. But we're going to need him. And we need his ability, but we also need to take care of the football. So it's a long answer to tell you that I'm not really sure 20 minutes after the game what we're going to do. But we need him. Because he helped us win the game last week, and it was a different story today.
Yeah, no, I'll say. Yeah, they don't need him.
No.
I'm sorry, you don't need him.
I wish Henderson and Gibson were coming off a better game. That'd be easier to say. And I don't want to completely have the shortest memory in the world, because he was really good in week two. Ramondre had that awesome catch down the sidelines, one of the best plays of the game.
He even made a couple of plays yesterday. I mean, but aside the fumbles. He fumbled seven times last year.
Yeah.
They stuck by him at every turn. He fumbled twice yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're sticking by him again.
So I would like half stick by him. I wouldn't release Ramondre Stevenson, but I wouldn't play him next week. I'm not ready to
scratch.
Scratch. Yeah.
All right, I'll meet you there.
He's inactive next week.
Great.
Is what I would do. And then Henderson and Gibson get the lion's share of the carries. I don't know if you want to like call somebody else up or whatever you want to do. I think you can get by with those two guys. But I think you want to like send a message, but also like you don't want to cut the guy and then Gibson gets hurt and then you're like, what the? You got like Ralph Webb as your running back in 2 weeks. Like, I don't want to go that extreme because he at least has, and I know we're going to get to Pop Douglas later in the show, but Ramondre Stevenson at least has some bit of a track record. In fact, week two, pop on the tape of week two, be like, hey, you like that? But yeah, I did like that. I want you to hold on to the ball. Last year was the biggest issue of his career. He never fumbled the ball in three seasons, I don't think, as many times as he did last year. So you knew going in, you're like, all right, how's that going to go? They drafted Henderson very high, so clearly they felt like it was a need. He was one of the names we kind of tossed out there with guys like Kyle Duggar. It ended up being Jabril Peppers getting cut, but some of the veteran guys that were on the team, like, how's Ramondre going to do? But he was like the lead back. Like, all through camp, he was the lead back. And through two games, he was pretty good. And then this was just this was awful.
It was. And, you know, I hear what you're saying. At least he has good tape and big plays.
Yeah.
And, like, he's an NFL player. Who knows what Pop Douglas is, other than a moron. And we'll get to him coming up in just a little bit. At least Ramondre and Pop faced the music after the game. I know not everybody did that after yesterday's loss.
No, I guess not.
But let's stick with Ramondre here for a moment. I thought he put a lot of it. I don't know who else he's supposed to blame, but at least he put a lot of it on himself yesterday.
Coach Rabel was in there talking, we need you. Those are his words. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I appreciate it, but I got to hold on the ball to have value and, put value on this team. So if I can't help the ball, they don't need me.
Okay. Bingo.
I mean, he's right.
You haven't held on to the ball, and they don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I fine. I'll meet you at it. They don't need to outright cut him.
Yeah.
The other guy, pop, maybe. But this guy, inactive. I'll meet you there.
You know, because other big fumble guys that I can think of in the past would be like, you know, Amon Green, remember from the Packers? He was a big fumble guy, but you were like, he's really good. And like Tiki Barber, early in Tiki Barber's career, was a big fumble guy. But you're like, there's a lot of good there. Ramondre's solid. And I know there's been bad offenses, but he averaged 4 yards a carry 2 years ago. He averaged under 4 yards a carry last year, and he's right at 4 yards a carry this year. Like, I don't know. He's not
special.
No. He is a step above, like, random running back, right? Like, he's better than that, but not much better. Like, we were going through all the top running backs in the AFC, and it's funny, like, going into the year, the Patriots gave him not Mike Vrabel, but the Patriots gave him a contract extension. Like, obviously, they like him. And, like, locally, you see some of the plays, and you follow him, and you're like, oh, he's pretty good. And then every year when they do, like, the rankings by position, he's, like, nowhere near. Like, every team has a running back like him or better, it feels like. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think, especially with the other options that you have on the roster, next week you at least got to go Henderson, Gibson.
The Patriots might be one of those teams.
Although it's tough. Like, now you got to reward Gibson with more snaps?
No.
Like, that's tough.
No, it's Henderson, who apparently they don't trust in pass blocking. That was like the best thing everybody said about him when he came out, I guess, aside from his speed, was pass blocking.
Right.
And they already, that we're 3 weeks in, they don't trust him.
It's time to go five wide. Although one of the wides, we got to move him out,
one
too.
One of the wides cannot be Pop Douglas, I can tell you that. So
right,
look,
four wide.
Look, it's self-evident.
And our guy Henry.
But the Pepsi key takeaway is they got to clean up their turnovers. They have to. And that starts with Ramondre Stevenson. They dominated first downs, total plays, total yards, yards per play, passing yards, rushing yards, penalties, time of possession. They got smoked in turnovers. That's why they lost. Clean it up. It's brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. What are you doing with Ramondre Stevenson now that the fumbling issues continue? And it's weird. When you don't send a strong message to a player and he just keeps making the same mistake over and over and over again, boy, it's weird how he just keeps doing it over and over. It's almost like he never learned the lesson. That's weird. So we can get to that coming up. Also, what was up with that final play? What do you do with Pop Douglas? Who do you blame on the fourth down at the end of the game? We'll do that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, I'm just curious what you saw in that final fourth down conversion that was the only one that to not work out today.
Looked like they pressured us, and Drake got the ball out. And again, probably have to just drop step and be able to knife. And you know those are going to be bang-bang plays and try to split them and get the first down. I think it's hard to circle around some defenders. I didn't have the best view of it, so I would say that the decision that Pop made wasn't the right one there, just because we didn't get it right. So, got to try to either drop step or make a miss.
Not our favorite play call yesterday.
It was not.
Fourth down
on a long list,
short of the sticks.
Yeah,
Nick came in the last break and made a good point. He's like, the guy had trouble getting on the field last week. Now you're running the most important play of the game for him.
The game is on the line. And there he is, fourth and one, run a half-yard route. And then to avoid the tackler, why don't you run the other way? I like that.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite play call. It wasn't my favorite play design. Not my favorite execution there.
Not
as
ideal.
Well. But a lot to nitpick from that game yesterday. You start with the turnovers and work your way on down as the Patriots fall to 1-2. Following the 21-14 loss again at Gillette Stadium, Curtis was hammering this home today. They never win at home. I mean, they have had trouble winning anywhere the last couple of years, right, but they never win at home. And that's something that is self-evident, but it's got to stop. It's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. Every Monday, we are joined by Patriots linebacker Christian Ellis. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. By Shaw's and Star Market, look for the new lower prices everyday tags throughout the store, and you can save on the items that you buy most. And by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Christian Ellis, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Tough one. We were just describing some of it there. You guys are now 1-2. How would you describe the team's performance through 3 weeks?
I think there's, like, obviously it's not good enough. You know, last week we were able to pull out the win. This week we obviously weren't able to pull it out. There's a lot to learn from, but I think there's a lot of good that we see too. It's just putting all the pieces together at the end of the day. And you know, we could say that all we want, but it starts by action first and foremost. So that's what we're looking forward to doing this upcoming week.
You know, you guys got off to a slow start. Pittsburgh scored touchdowns on their first two drives, but then you had a stretch there where you forced a lot of three and outs. You turned them over. What changed after those first two possessions?
Yeah, no, I think it came down to first and foremost penalties. Penalties, I think, killed us on the defensive side in that first few drives. And then the second thing happened was our players just started making plays. Our guys just started making plays. So I think it, first and foremost, was the penalties. And then secondly was everyone started getting, like, playing how we're supposed to play.
How, speaking of the penalties, is that something that on a weekly basis you try to figure out, you know, what is being called this week and what isn't? Because I feel like just from a fan's perspective, sometimes something's pass interference, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you look at a replay and, oh, that's holding, and then other times it isn't. Is it something that early on in the games you guys are trying to figure out as well?
Yeah, I think it's different from crew to crew. Every crew is going to be a little different in how they call the game and what they let go. So that we do try to understand who's refereeing the game and trying to know who they are and what their personality is like, because it's impossible. Like, those guys have a hard job too. It's impossible to call a perfect game. So yeah, we try to understand them week to week and understand what we might be able to get away with and what we might not be able to.
You had your snaps scaled back this week. Is that the kind of thing that the coaching staff communicates in game? Is that the kind of thing you kind of know is coming? How does that play out?
That's something we figured out in the game. Obviously, a little disappointed, but at the end of the day, we're just trying to do what's best for the team and move on from there.
You know, Aaron Rodgers has probably been in the league as long as you've been alive. So I'm curious, what was that like going up against him?
Yeah, it was my, I think, third time going against Aaron. He's a great player, obviously. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a really good quarterback. So it was fun to be able to go up against him. And, you know, obviously, I wanted to win because last time we went up against him was when he was on the Jets, and we ended up winning that one. So, but, you know, it's fun. It's cool.
Christian Gonzalez was back at practice in limited capacity last week. Would you expect to have him back here in week four against Carolina?
You know, that's between Christian, the training staff, and the coaches. I leave all, like, injury stuff to the head man and then to our training staff. So I can't speak on that one.
Okay. Christian Ellis joins us every Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keith. Christian, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Christian Ellis brought to you by Drains by James, Shaw's and Star Market, and by Verizon. Hunter Henry scheduled to join us later on in the program today. Christian Ellis, it's tough. I mean, Jack Gibbons was getting more snaps than him down the stretch. Yeah. He answered a question that I was about to ask. He's like, we had too many penalties, and then we made adjustments, which I think was his way of saying, I got benched, and we started stopping the run. I didn't feel like they were ready to go yesterday. It's far down my list, but defensively, you can give him credit for making adjustments, and I do. And one of those adjustments, unfortunately, was more Gibbons and less Ellis. but they were not how Pittsburgh was running all over them the first couple of drives. Mm-hmm. And then they put a stop to it. I felt like they weren't ready to go yesterday. And that's a reflection on coaching. It is. So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. Speaking of the coach, we're playing Mike Vrabel coming back. He said the fourth down play to Pop Douglas obviously wasn't the right play because we didn't get it.
Agreed.
That was Vrabel's stance on it. I also agree. Here's Pop Douglas after the game, Keith. And it's a quick exchange.
All right.
But just know, when you hear him chuckling and laughing in the middle, he's got a big giant smile on his face to match. They just lost the game. Here's Pop Douglas on that final sequence.
Fourth down play, is that designed for you to get to the sticks, or is that designed to go before and make a play?
It was a play. It wasn't designed for anything. It was just...
Did you think you were at the first down
area, or
you didn't know where you were?
Yeah, I was somewhere by it. I know I was somewhere by it because we only had 2 yards.
So you knew you probably had to make a play, I'm guessing.
Yeah, facts.
Big facts.
It wasn't designed for anything?
Yeah, no, it was just a play. It wasn't designed for anything.
It wasn't designed for anything. Josh McDaniels is like, wait a minute, what? So what do you think I do? What do you think my job is?
It's just a play.
Pop?
Yeah.
So just a play.
Also.
So pretty funny, though. It is funny when you lose a game like that, and you're one of the main reasons why you lose the game, and somebody asks you a very legitimate question, and you decide to kind of laugh it off.
Yeah. Also, you were.
We are laughing.
I was right. I knew I was right around the first. I knew I was close to it.
All right, so this is
we only needed a couple yards. I knew I was right there.
I draw the line in the sand here. So we've talked a lot about Ramondre Stevenson, and we're going to talk a lot about Pop Douglas today. Feel free to join us. Yes. Feel free to join us in this.
He's out?
Yeah. What's the point?
What's the Greg Hill show going to do now? They talk to him every other week. What are they going to do?
He can still do the phone interview if he wants.
Okay, good.
He can still do that. But here's the thing. Like, Ramondre Stevenson, very frustrating. I would take playing time away from him. I wouldn't even play him this weekend. But there's enough there. And if somebody gets hurt with the running backs, you're not going to be like, oh, man, I wish we had Ramondre back and whatever else. I would at least try it. With Pop Douglas, this year, you went into it thinking like he could be one of their top guys. Kayshon Boutte is definitely better than him. Steph Diggs hasn't done much, but he's better than him. Mac Hollins is more reliable. And I would rather see Kyle Williams, and even Efton Chisholm at this point.
Yeah.
Pop Douglas has been wildly unproductive. They were taking playing time away from it in the game that they did win. And then this, the way he even answered it, really has to bother you as a fan, too. Like, that was such a dumb play. Just wear it. Ramondre, like, hey, the coach says they like they need you. He's like, I need to hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
100% right. Let's move on, and hopefully you can move on. With Pop Douglas being like, it wasn't really designed for anything. No, it was fourth and one. It was designed to get the first down.
It was designed to pick up the yardage to try to go win the game.
And if you ran a yard down the field and caught it, you would have had the first down. Also, I found it almost, I don't know if ironic's the right word, but on a weekend where Julian Edelman gets into the Patriots Hall of Fame, that guy on that play gets it 100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
Even if he caught the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, he's getting it. But he wouldn't have caught the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He would have ran the right route. And for some reason, if the way the defense was set up, if he was somewhat short, he would have immediately dove forward like a bullet and picked up the first round.
So this is
Pop Douglas. The ball, they don't need me.
It was a play. It was designed.
It wasn't designed for anything. Douglas also had a play earlier in the game where, and the broadcast was like, oh, what a great play by him.
Oh, what a magician, where he like ducked under the tackle.
Yeah. But he was down.
He was completely
down. It was not a great play. He was down. He tackled himself.
Yeah.
He was not a great play. I was like, what are you talking about? I was so confused that they were like, I'm like, are they talking about a different play?
Yeah, he was so terrified of contact that he tackled himself.
Right, but he did the same thing where he's like, it's going around. But, you know, middle of the second quarter, first and 10 on your 35-yard line is not the same as game on the line, fourth and one. You need the yard. You don't have another opportunity for it. You can't get cute. You can't hit the spin move button. You can't do that right in that spot.
So look, I didn't like the play call. I wouldn't have thrown short of the sticks, okay? Just as a rule of thumb, not what I would do. I also wouldn't pitch backwards on fourth and short. They did that a bunch
yesterday.
They
got away with that twice.
So like McDaniels hates running plays past the line of scrimmage. That's annoying, but it had worked. This is the only fourth down that didn't work yesterday. They were 4-for-4 before that one yesterday. This is more on Pop Douglas than Josh McDaniels. I didn't like the play call.
Yeah.
It's more on him. You got a knife for it, is what Vrabel said. Mm-hmm. Get the first down. Don't go backwards. And two, Orlovsky had this observation yesterday. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas is way off the line of scrimmage yesterday.
Yeah.
So maybe he thought he ran far enough down the field, or maybe Drake thought he ran far enough down the field.
But there's no excuse for that because he's not a guy that lines up on the line a ton anyway. Like, he's used to lining up off the ball. And so you have to have seven guys on the line of scrimmage. He's one of the guys that was off. But I think Orlovsky pointed this out. There's a difference between being 2 yards off the ball and 1 yard off the ball.
Correct.
You still line up correctly. You wouldn't get flagged for it. But now in that spot where Drake May has a second to get the ball and throw it, you're one extra yard down the field. That's a first down.
That gets you a first down.
Right. They might be in overtime if you were able to catch run the right route.
I'm with you. I make an example of Ramondre, who did not get benched in the second half. He didn't have a touch. He played. He played more snaps in the second half. Not many.
Yeah, he was out there.
But he did. I would make an example of Ramondre inactive this week. You don't get a uniform this week. Okay? That's how I make an example of him. But you're right. Cutting him would be over reactionary.
Yeah.
Make an example of this guy by cutting him. He used to be pop on the tape, Douglas.
He sure is.
He should pop up on waivers today is where he should pop up. Because I don't need him back on the team.
Pop up on waivers, Douglas? That is a mouthful.
Pop up on the transaction log.
I don't hate it.
Is where he should be popping up today. It's a little wordy.
We got to
iron it out.
Of the transaction log, yeah.
But that's where he should be.
So his percentage of snaps so far this season was 63.4 in the first game.
Yep.
Down to 25% in week two, 39.2% this time around.
It should be zero and or snaps on another team.
I agree.
That's what it should be.
I agree with you.
We got a lot of you waiting patiently, which we appreciate. We'll get to you coming up at 617-779-7937. What do you do with Ramondre? What do you do with Pop Douglas? What do you think of the head coach so far, by the way? 3 weeks in, they do not seem very buttoned up. They do not seem very detail-oriented. They turn it over a crap ton. We'll get to Mike Vrabel next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If there's something where he should have went a little bit deeper, or because of the blitz, it caught him in that position, what happened on that 4th-and-2 play?
Well, I think, I think we just have to make a great decision. We have to, in those vice tackle situations, we've talked all along about knifing, about knowing where the sticks are. We had a couple examples, especially last week. We had some examples yesterday. You know, you probably just have to be able to knife and get what you need and know where you're at. And be able to get to the sticks. I didn't, again, you just can't, those are tough to try to circle those guys up in that situation.
But in that situation, did he not, realize where he might have been on the field? Like, shouldn't he be thinking about that pre-snap? Okay, here's where the first down marker is.
Yeah,
and this is where I need to get to.
I think we're close. We probably just need to get another revolution. And then if we're not, if we stop, we have to be able to knife. We have to be able to get the yardage that we need. Certainly want to be able to get to the sticks, and if we're not, and we got, we're not matched, be able to sit down, which he did, and then during the, being able to knife through the defender or get a half a yard.
I think you wanted him to knife, Keith, you wanted him to do.
Sounds like if he knifed, he might have picked up that first down. He did not knife. What's the opposite of knife? Don't even say it.
It's got a spork.
Sporked. Yeah, he got a spork there. Uh-huh. He's like, let me run backwards. It's the type of play. And I'm not saying – I don't know I don't know anything here, Jones. But this is the type of play that, like, 10 weeks from now, when a player is under investigation for throwing games, you're like, hey, remember this game? Remember when Emmanuel Class A gave up that home run or walked that guy? Like, that was just such an outrageous play. You don't run to the right spot, and then you run backwards. Terrible. Like, None of that was good for Pop Douglas.
With Kayshawn Booty's existence on the roster, I would not want anybody coming around sniffing about my prop bets. I wouldn't want that. But it was very questionable behavior by Pop Douglas, which is why we want him to go bye-bye off the team. Don't need him here.
He and Drake May do not have very good chemistry either, I would say. Nope. There was a play that was on Drake May that he kind of like one-hopped him. It was a bad throw by him going towards Pop Douglas. There's another one where Pop Douglas probably should have made the play, and he didn't. And it just, for a guy that did have his moments during camp that you're like, oh, maybe he is going to have a breakout season. You know, that we keep going back to it, and maybe we shouldn't, but that joint practice against Washington, he got open a lot, and Drake May seemed to target him quite a bit. But he seems like, of the guys who are playing, the least reliable of the receivers.
Yeah.
And, like, it's growing by the week.
I mean, he's only targeted Kyle Williams once. That play looked pretty good yesterday.
Nice little play.
Good timing.
Let's see more of that.
Better chemistry with Kyle Williams than with Pop Douglas.
Yep.
617-779-7937. You can discuss there. By the way, Mike Vrabel, you heard that clip, joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year. It's brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF. FDIC. We're going to do what happened, take you through week three, coming up about 40 minutes from now, every Monday at 11:30. It's Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry scheduled to join us later on in the show as well, so stay tuned.
I did the math. Yep. If you take these three games and you project forward for the rest of the season.
For Pop
on the tape, Douglas.
Ooh, let me take a guess. Pop on
five
waivers.
Five or six.
Seven or eight. Okay. Good call.
Let me take a guess.
How many catches and yards would he have if he's able to duplicate these 3 weeks?
Seven!
Hang on. The yards has to be astronomically low.
The yards is high.
Put me down for like 20 grabs and 200 yards.
Well, so you're close on what's 28 catches.
Okay.
For 74 yards. But six touchdowns.
Wow, nice.
He is trending towards six.
I forgot. He had
touchdowns.
Negative yardage week one, right? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown, but negative yardage.
He was held. Yeah, he owed yards after the first game.
Yep, the second game,
he did have eight. And then this game, he had 7 yards. Unfortunately, he could have had even more.
Seven!
Wait, so what does he have through 3 weeks?
13 yards.
13 yards through 3 weeks.
Yes, 13 yards.
And that, Josh McDaniels is like, you know what? Try to play for that guy.
Yeah.
What is his yards per catch?
I just went off of it. It can't be.
It's not high.
Honestly, maybe
we should be more critical of McDaniels. Not even for throwing short of the sticks, but throwing to the guy who, does he even get 2 yards a catch?
No, I don't think so.
What are you doing?
He's averaging 4.3 yards per game.
Yeah.
So that can't be. Oh, 2.6 yards per catch.
Ooh.
All right, here's another fun fact for you. This is from the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department. And we still have a game to play.
Yeah.
Tonight. So week three's not even over.
Yeah, true.
But as of right now, there are 174 players whose longest catch is more yards than Pop Douglas has this season.
And we could see more people rocket past him tonight.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. 174 players have one catch that is longer than Pop Douglas.
The Ravens get Keaton Mitchell in there. He's going to zoom right by.
Correct.
Okay. We'll get to your phone calls, your thoughts on Mike Vrabel as well. Let's start it off today with our pal Coach up in New Hampshire. What's up, Coach?
Coach.
Hey, guys. So through 3 weeks, my message to Coach Vrabel would be, it's one thing to talk tough. It's another thing to be tough. So this week, I do bury Ramondre, and I definitely deactivate Pop, and I activate Julian Edelman. I'm sorry, I mean Efton Chisholm.
Mm-hmm.
And the second point I want to make is, the most annoying thing that happened for me yesterday was the play calling sequence and the clock management. At the end of the first half, it's criminal to walk into the locker room still holding your three timeouts because I think you were afraid of giving the Steelers the ball back after you scored. And oh, by the way, you didn't score because you didn't run the ball in.
Okay, well, so
I thought that was a mess, too. I agree.
They probably should have run, but then fast forward to the second half, they tried running in there and Stevenson lost it anyways.
I understand that. But
I would just say they had... They had Booty open in the corner of the end zone. I didn't love all the play calls in the midst of it. They had Booty open, and your second-year quarterback, quote-unquote franchise quarterback, threw a brutal pick. I don't care that it got tipped. So, I don't know. I just have trouble blaming the play calling and everything else down there and Vrabel's timeout protection instead of just blaming the quarterback who threw a terrible pick.
I do think, though, with this team, first and goal on the five, and not just this team meaning the Patriots, but this team meaning the Steelers and how bad they've been against the run all season. And I know they would go on to fumble two more times, but at this point in the game, they had fumbled once. It was Ramondre on the first possession. First and five, three timeouts, 22 seconds. You can only see what that looks like once. Maybe even twice. I mean, you're on the 5-yard line after that penalty.
No. Running was absolutely in play with the three timeouts, 100%. And I also thought they were going to
run with Drake May, for God's sakes. That might even been a better option, but run somewhere in there.
So, look, I didn't love the play calling either. My big takeaway there still is not keeping your timeouts in your pocket, like Coach said, or even the play calling, which I didn't love.
Yeah.
May can't throw a pick there. Like, he cannot throw a pick.
No, that was devastating.
So I'm not letting him off the hook on that one, even though there were other things I didn't like. There's a lot to not like in that game yesterday. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. Hello, Sorja.
Jones and Keith, how are we today?
Hi, Sorja. Very good.
It seems like we're all watching a living nightmare yesterday, and thank God it's over. I mean, you think about the turnover battle, like you guys said, but I think it's more or less the most important thing heading into week four against the Panthers is the adjustments that you make moving forward. And I think the package needs to be RB number one. And I think someone needs to sit down with Drake May and say, screw all the people that have told you not to run. Do what you do best. Because my point is, if you're scrambling, do you think that you have the time to think, should I run, should I not? When you scramble, you got to make quick decisions. And I think also the last point here is sometimes Drake just needs to take the sack and not do too much. You guys have a great rest of your day.
Okay.
And if he does take the sack, hold on to the ball.
Hold on to the football.
Yeah,
correct.
That's another thing.
Look, the people who don't want him to run, I would like him to run. He wants the package, Travion Henderson, out there as RB1. I think there's a good chance of that this week.
Yeah, I do too. He's the one of the three guys that hasn't fumbled yet. So I think he should get the opportunity. Although, you know, we were very excited about it, kind of flashed in the preseason a little bit. Regular season, you know.
Bill, we were talking about this before the show.
He's got 19 carries for 65 yards.
He does not look elusive.
No.
He kind of catches it and then gets tackled right away.
Correct.
Or runs into a like
or holds or that. Misses a guy pass blocking or whatever else. So like
both
yeah.
Stevenson and Gibson are running for more per carry than him. So you can't just blame the O-line and be like, there's nowhere to go. Those two guys are running better than he is.
No, I think week four, though, it's Henderson's job, but it's by default. It isn't he has overtaken those guys because he's playing so well. It's like, no, you don't trust the other two guys.
And if you want a terrible run D, Carolina last year was a historically bad run defense. I know they shut out Atlanta yesterday. I'd have to look at what Robinson did specifically.
Yeah, I think Penix was awful.
But no, that is a historically bad run defense in Carolina this week. So
well,
it's
maybe they'll throw it three times in the goal line then.
Maybe. But no, he should be RB1. But no, Billy was joking about this before the game. He's like, oh, before the show today, all the buzz about Ramon. Yeah, but he had that one kick return. It's like,
Henderson?
We are kind of clinging to the one kick return.
It's a great kick return.
And applying that to Travion Henderson being,
Gibson,
you know,
at least had a kick return that mattered.
That's a good point. But we're kind of applying it to like Travion Henderson all of a sudden being, you know,
I know.
The next Bijan Robinson.
Bijan was 13 for 72.
Okay.
Panthers.
That's good. I mean, good.
And somebody called Nathan Carter was 7 for 46.
Oh, Nate Carter.
Ooh, Nate Carter. I like that.
Oh, nice.
So good efficiency there anyways. But yeah, Carolina has a terrible run defense. So you should be able to have room on the ground. I wouldn't suggest Ramondre Stevenson running it. But that's just
No.
617-779-7937. We got more of your feedback here coming up. Speaking of Drake May, let's get to his day yesterday. What'd you think? There's a lot of excuse making going on.
It really is.
For Drake May. Let's get to him next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.